too many people just stop at the raw data and they want it to be an answer. And like, so then you have to look at the next layer, like how'd they get that score and what factors were involved surrounding that score. And that's important.
Hey, it's Ben Wise, and this is The Fitness Movement. Brought to you by Zor Fitness. Zor Fitness is my company and my platform to deliver training-related content to people just like you. The site features in-depth articles, movement breakdowns, and our online training program, The Protocol. And I offer one-on-one remote coaching for fitness athletes. So I hope you check it out. Head over to zorfitness.com. That's Z-O-A-R fitness.com. See you there. Today we got Brian St. Andrews on the show. He is the owner of State College Strength Conditioning and OPEX State College. He has a kinesiology degree and he has his CSCS, his OPEX CCP, and his CrossFit Level 3. Brian has coached all kinds of different athletes, everybody from soccer moms and general fitness clients to the highest level of athletics, including the IF3 and the CrossFit Games. He's on Facebook at Brian St. Andrews, and State College Strength Conditioning is on Facebook at SCSC Fit and on Instagram at SCSC Fit. And today we get into what the assessment process should look like for CrossFit competitors versus general fitness GPP athletes, and also how coaches need to know their history of the sport of fitness to best coach their athletes. We talk about how coach hopping is ruining your progress, and Brian gives his advice for athletes who want to work with a coach, but they don't know if they will be a good fit. So without further ado, let's jump into this conversation with Brian St. Andrews. Brian, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Good to see you, Ben.
Good to see you. So this is a rare instance where I worked for you, and I hopefully that you're the only person that I say that to who I interview on the show.
I guess the other experiences weren't good. You know, I feel like you left on good terms with me. You're welcome back anytime.
Yeah. Thanks. No, it definitely was. It was for logistical reasons to
Be honest. Yeah, you were driving a long way. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've gotten to see some of the inner workings of, you know, your business, State College Strength Conditioning. And, you know, we have a sort of a topic in mind that we want to talk about. But first, I want to ask you, like, as a multiple business owner, like, how do you, like, or at least attempt to, like, organize your time on a daily or weekly basis?
Yeah. I would say, like, I would have a pre-pandemic answer and then I would have now, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, the realities of the pandemic were, you know, as you know, so I had two gym locations and conveniently one lease ended in November. And it may not have been an ideal situation, but the other location was superior. Right. The less busy gym that was not like never affiliated with CrossFit. And, but it had a lot better amenities and a really nice build out that like the previous owner had already done. And we would never have had access to anything like that. Right. Like, you know, we've got three big ass fans. We've got thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars in stereo equipment over here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just all sorts of build out that wouldn't have been possible.
Right.
In a, you know, more of like a warehouse type setting like we were in before. So, and it's right next to the brand new high school in town, which costs like $300 million. Right. So it's an up and coming area. They're tearing down the building next to me here and building more like housing and mixed use. And I'm more centralized. So there were a lot of those sort of non-emotional reasons to like end up making the move and try and like get organized in the fashion that I did.
Right.
So some of it was like alleviate short-term overhead in terms of getting organized. Right. So like just reduce all the extra fluff. And then from actual organization, like within my day, it was real minimal. So I made the decision that we were going to try and keep all the full-time staff and like reduce part-timers on the side. And just because it was people that are like making a living, they have families, right? And so I felt more obligated in that direction. So I used to have more help, and like I had a better grasp on like, this is the person in this role, right? Mm-hmm. And like, that's how, and so I would say that hiring to that like specific skill set of helping me organize my week and keep everything on track. And I just hired that person again, like within the past week. So we're onboarding someone in like a part-time office manager, operations manager role who really kind of helps me with that in terms of, you know, what used to be two gyms. And now it's just like balancing the separate programs. And like we had just talked about a little bit, as it all comes under one roof and like rebrands and looks forward for the next 3 to 5 years.
Yeah. There's always so much logistical things that go on that people don't realize if they're not involved in it. But I feel like a lot of, go ahead.
Oh yeah. Go ahead. I was just going to say like the bigger the operation, I heard it once on a podcast where it was like a rule of like, I think the guy said threes and tens, but it was like when you go from 1 to 3, and then like 3 to 10, 10 to 30 to 33, up to 100 and so on, right?
Right.
300, then 1,000. And like as businesses grow, what usually happens and where they break is you just start to overlap systems. Like the biggest example here would be like Penn State, right? Like everybody that works there just bitches about like, oh, this computer system from the 80s now has this and it has this and it has this, right? And they're all just slapped together. And like that's where small businesses break, is they don't have the systems appropriate for that level. It's like, well, I did this one with Zen Planner for 10 years, so we still do it. But now I brought on this CRM over here,
right?
That manages a lot of people. So making sure that that stuff matches like harmoniously is a big part of it.
Yeah.
Is a big part of it.
Yeah, that's no easy task for sure. So obviously today we're just talking about one small aspect of it. We're talking somewhat about assessment, coaching, these are all kind of interlapped things. But let's jump into that. I think a lot of clients with maybe competitive aspirations, they want to, if we're talking about assessment, they want to go like straight to the sexy stuff, like, you know, doing Metcons or max lifts or, you know, the stuff they'd see in the sport. And I guess for certain clients, that's definitely going to be appropriate for them. But I think for a lot of people who are just maybe more general fitness, and just even for those competitors, like there's so much that you can do prior to that. So could you maybe walk us through like what it might look like if you're, you know, you've talked to someone, they're coming on board with you, like they're committed. What does your sort of intake and assessment process look like for an individual design athlete from you get them to you actually write some of their design?
Well, let's just talk about that particular example that you started out with there, because I would say even within that, and so I'm referring to, let's say Ben is like 27 years old, male, right? Played a lot of sports, mm-hmm. saw CrossFit on YouTube, has done some on his own for like 4 months. And walks in the door, right?
Yeah.
There's still a lot that could go into that person, right? Because then it's like, well, Ben is like, well, I'm athletic, right? And I've done some lifting, right? And maybe this Ben looks like you, but maybe he doesn't, right? And so it's like, okay, well, what? You have to dig a little deeper on that. Like, what's that mean, right?
Yeah.
And you know, so, but what you're talking about, like, yeah, there's definitely like a biological age factor and like the dude kind of looks the part maybe. Right. Mm-hmm. But truthfully, there could be a lot of, the training age for the person and not just the fact that they've played a lot of sports and put some tread on the tires, but like the maturity around their decision-making with it and their actual understanding. Right.
Yeah.
Because really the best case scenario for that person, if you're like, all right, this person's competitive, quote unquote, right? Like they want to do something competitive.
Right.
And you really just want like not necessarily a thinker and an analyzer, just a doer. Like execution is worshiped, right? Like that's what I would tell. Like I used to work with Matt DeLugos before he moved on, right? Mm-hmm. And he was like, so I think of someone like that where they're like, they had been to regionals and then they wanted to go regionals individual, right? So they've been on a team a bunch of times. And then beyond that, it's like, well, I want to do as well as I can. Like, what's that mean? So I want to make the games. I want to do these sort of things, right? Like, well, what do you, you know? So then having the conversation with that person, like, well, what do you think that looks like, right? And because that person, like, and it used to be truer early on, right? And so you can look at like the people who had a lot of success in the sport really early on, where you're like, okay, the, and that's where like new people might not understand the history a little bit, right? But you're like, okay, well, Spieler was a college wrestler and had a lot of really good like collegiate coaching, right? Division one athlete, like, yes, it lines up. Kalipa had a ton of like weightlifting experience, a ton of reps, had been a personal trainer. I believe he was like a good college football player or like around that level, right? Like at least a really good high school player. You're like, okay, well, the guy is really strong and like had a lot of weightlifting reps already, right? And you're like, okay, so that makes sense, right? And like, there was a lot more of that where you're like, it makes sense. It makes sense, right?
Yeah.
But now in like, if you just look at the adoption curve, right? And that was where it was like Elite Fitness. So it's like early adopters and like, you know, you would have to be like real masculine and like maybe military experience or collegiate athletic experience or just like a dude who just wants to do really gnarly shit, right? And though that's who you were getting,
right?
Right. But now you have to ask better questions because it might be a more immature person, right? Who's not that, because now it's been around and it's like more mainstream and it's not just a niche-y back alley, like only one out of every 10 people's going to join, right?
Right.
You know, it's not Fight Club anymore. You know, now like I'm in a bougie retail location, right? And sometimes people walking in are considering like Orange Theory or this,
yeah,
right? Or like this other or this. So, you know, that might not be the example of like Ben that we named in there, right? But you just get a much wider variety, right? Mm-hmm. And that person might be considering something else too, right? So it's like you got to ask really good questions. But then, yeah, if we get to the point of just like assessing, right? So I'm saying like that's actually part of the assessment is like, what is this person's training age? And then like, what is their perception of reality versus like what we actually know is real, right?
Yeah.
Like this person, like, you know, you can see like Frazier grew up lifting weights, right? Yeah. Other people like grew up doing this stuff. And so now you could just like the good is they can learn a lot like online and just have really good knowledge coming in, right? Because mm-hmm. they just have access to good information, and maybe they happen to follow somebody like Ben Wise. He has great info for them, right? But they might have a really unrealistic expectation that like the dude's jacked, but he's also been doing it for 12 years, right? And and I happen to like he was a really good like, let's say like collegiate swimmer and runner or something, right? And you're like, well, okay. Yeah. So you want to look like the guy in the video because he looks like you. I understand. And you think you can do that. But so there's got to be a good match there, right? First. And from a coaching perspective, like if you look at the best people, like Rich Froning and like Ben or Invictus, some of those, they're just the best recruiters too, honestly, right? Like it's like college basketball. You're only as good as the people you rode in on, right? So not only do you have to like identify that awareness, but like maybe you know this kid's uncle was in the NBA and he's only 6'2", but uncle's 6'7", right? Dad's 6'9". Like you're like, okay, the kid's going to grow 7 inches still by the time he steps on campus. I should probably work with him. There's a lot of meat on the bone.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so if Ben walks in and he's never lifted a weight and you're assessing him and he like deadlifts 500 pounds and he's like, yeah, first time I've done it, bro. And you're like, well, he could probably be pretty good with a little bit of coaching. Mm-hmm. Right. And so there'd be some of that too. If you're asking me specifically about like the sport side of things, right. Cause that, like you could identify easy wins in certain people, right? If you go back to like Matt, he had been on a team, right? But like couldn't figure out, and he would tell you this, right? Couldn't figure out like a snatch and chest to bar workout, that thing in regionals where he's like going up, right? He's like, I snatched this, but I'm doing this. But he was just like still, and he was really young. He was in college, right? And just part of a team as an athletic dude. So we just had to do a lot of upper body work. I was like, you have no platform and you're talking about doing them with pull-ups now. And like your grip strength isn't that strong. So like, does that start to make sense? Right. And so like, is there a big gap for improvement right there that you notice where you're like, I can help this person. Right.
Yeah. So I guess the first thing to maybe think about is like the assessment process isn't something that is like you do it in onboarding and you're like, all right, I'm done. Like, I think that like oftentimes people think about the intake process as the assessment, which like, yes, the intake will involve assessing someone, but it's also like that the assessment process really never stops for an athlete. And like, you can,
yeah,
you know, you can get a lot of data from them just in regular training. Certainly when they compete, you get stuff. And like, I think that's sort of what you're getting at here is like, you continually learn about someone's like experiences as they're, you know, working with you.
Yeah, for sure. So I guess it would be like, yeah, I would need to clearly define assessment. And so when I'm talking about assessment, I would be like that, there would be multiple aspects to it. If we're talking about just a functional movement screen and can they touch their hands together behind their back? Like, sure, anybody can check a box on that.
Right.
Right. But you got to go a little further. You got to go a little further.
Yeah.
You know, were they a throwing athlete? So they're just super flexible on one. Like, there's a million different reasons. Right. So yeah, there's, a lot of different things you could pick on. And that's before you get into different lifestyle aspects. Right. So
if we just take that idea of something like an FMS screen,
mm-hmm.
what do you see as like the utility of something like that for, let's just say it's a competitive athlete for now versus, you know, watching them just do lifts or Metcons like in their sport? Like what's the utility of that?
Yeah. So the first thing that pops into my head is like, as soon as you're putting sport on, it's like, well, what level is this person wanting to compete at? Right. And like, because there's so much that goes into that, right. But where it's like, okay, so what level of sacrifice am I going to ask of this person? Right. Because this is okay. And then where those like assessments come in is like where you would pick at parts, right? And like you'd maybe try and educate things and, you know, from an analytical standpoint, be like, yeah, you know, these lifts are out of balance. People that listen to your podcast might like Active Life or OPEX or, you know, any of those that have really sound principles and they're like, yeah, I need things in these sport ratios. And that's super interesting to do for a coach and, or at least a lot of coaches, they really, you know, get into that side of things. Right. And it's like, can I improve this movement? But then it would be like, well, yeah, but do like, you know, are you going for the thing that's going to improve them the most? And are you skipping steps because you want to experiment with that? Or you just learn something about that, right? Because maybe they don't need that, right? Like, I'll use that Matt snatch chest to bar pull up example. Like, he needed to do dips, right? The guy's huge, right? And now, like, now 4 years later or whatever, he's moved into one of those training settings where, and it was like amicable. I was, you know, Matt was like, I'm starting to get stale training. I was like, well, you're the best guy in West Virginia, half of North America, right? Like, you need to be in an environment to push yourself anymore, right? Like, you just have to get around other studs.
Yeah.
And, you know, get in one of those. And he found one and now like people saw in the open, he's doing great. And, but like that started with like, you don't need to worry about the chest to bar and snatches yet. Like, you need to do more dips. You have long arms. Your shoulders aren't big enough. right? So it's like, yeah, you could assess that and I could watch you in that workout, right? But I could also just take a step back and be like, you're 19 years old and you just don't have enough reps yet. And you got to grow a set of shoulders, son. Like, you know, you want to snatch 295, you got to be a big old boy as big as you are, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I
would answer that as you got to go for the biggest rock. And maybe the biggest rock isn't like 10 more degrees of movement in your shoulder or like lacrosse ball warming up, right?
Yeah.
Maybe it's like you got to lift for 3 years and get more jacked.
Yeah. Oh man, I just think it's like with the more experienced coaches I hear talk about, you know, whether it's assessment or just like athlete development, the conversation is just like it reverts back to the basics, and it's just like, well, yeah. Like yeah. This person, do they look like they would be good enough at this sport to compete at a high level? Like, yeah. No. Okay, then you need to, you know, create structure to the point where you look like you look the part. And then you'll probably be able to express a little bit closer to what you need yeah. to be able to express. Like, it's just like the most yeah. simple things that you need to go back and kind of relook at for a lot of people.
Yeah. And you need to like embrace the process around that. Right. And like, you would know this, but like people listening, like I'm an OPEX coach. I've been involved in OPEX for like 10 years. And, so I like James would have influence over things like beliefs of mine right. too. Right. Like, so, but I would say, like you should know some of the history. That's what made me think of that, right? Like you should know kind of like how this thing started, who won, like, oh, what did they do when they had success? Like how did, you know, Miko break onto the scene and then all of a sudden redo all of the workouts from all the previous games in one day and beat all of the times, right? And you're like, oh, because he was more elite of an athlete, right? And then his training was like already the strength and conditioning where it was like you, I don't even know. Are you old enough? But like, so there was a video, right? Like when Miko's movies first came out and stuff, right. It was like blown away where they were like, oh, so you snatch heavy. Like imagine it as like A, B, C in a workout, then multiple Metcons, right? Like right. every program looks like now,
yep.
like, you know, Misfit's got 18 pieces to it or whatever, and you pick and choose, right? But like, so Miko would be like, well, I like call it like, I have a primer. I have a main lift.
Yeah.
I have an accessory lift. And then I do the Metcon. That's why I'm stronger than everybody. And the stuff I do before is like snatch, 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 snatch. Then I go do the snatch and the pull-up workout, but it's only at 135, but I snatch 225, right? So like it doesn't feel like it's a big deal to me.
Right.
And that was like mind blowing where people were like, you don't just do Diane that day. And that's all you do. Like, that's it. And he was like, no. And then I do it again at night. And you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Like, yeah. But part of that too, is like the demands of the sport have changed over time too,
yeah.
because it's like in 2007, there was three workouts and that was yeah. it. And like 2008, yeah. there was, I forget like a couple, but that was it. And then it was like all yeah. of a sudden it, by the time 2010, I think is when they moved to like StubHub Center. That was like, all of a yeah. sudden it like ballooned where those, all these events over multiple days. And I feel like the training lagged behind where it was like, people are still training. Like it was like the original like .com type yeah. workouts. And it was like, well, yeah. that's not the way you would train for the sport when now it has 12 events in a weekend. Like you need to be prepared yeah. for that. If you're at that level.
And that's where people see it now. And it's like, oh, like you have to snatch 275 to get the games, right? Like everybody knows that. Like you just have to be able to do it and 300 or more to be competitive. Right. So, but it's like, they don't realize that like when it started, 185 was like an outrageous snatch. Right. And why would that be important? Because it's your first day. And if you expect that you're going to be better than who was considered the fittest person in the sport 10 years ago on day one, because you're not doing 275, like, are you kidding me? That was a 10-year development, right?
Yeah.
And so it's like, that's why I think it's like important to know that a little bit too, right? Like, you know, those weights at like the old workouts where you're like, oh, I see 275 at like 1.5 body weight for a deadlift in that workout, and then a 135 squat clean and a body weight bench press was hard.
Yeah.
Right. That wasn't like the second part of a workout that you were going to do. Right. Oh, I see now. Right. Like, so the expectation of like, well, I'm going to come in on day one, and I just saw that Rich does that in the morning, and then he does 40 muscle ups for time at night going into a heavy snatch. Right. Like, well, yeah, he does. And he started 12 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And it's super easy for him.
Right. And that's part of that. That's why I can do it every day.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Like that's sustainable for him. It's not for you. You'll be done. And so that's where it's that. And to what you were saying, like, that's where I think a lot of where you're like, oh, these older coaches who have been in it or whatever, or someone who's got a lot of experience, like, that's what they're saying when they're like, you just need to go do more fundamentals. Like, I don't have time to tell you the history of this sport in this book and watch these 8 documentaries with you, so you have a little bit better picture of what you're trying to get into.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm 43, so it's going to sound like a cranky old man, but like, a lot of times the instant like gratification thing now with like social media and being able to be out there and do that, like, I'm a big basketball fan, so I think of that and I'm like, well, people don't know, they don't see the videos as much of like, they love Steph Curry's 3-pointers and all the little kids, if you go to that, want to shoot from half court and shoot threes, right? But they like it, the part I don't, because that's what's on there, right? And so it's like the highlights and they get to see the cool part. It's like, you don't see as many of the videos of like, Steph would be at, like, as the going into college when he was under recruited, right? Like, they'd go to those huge camps, 50 best players or whatever, and he'd get to be the 50th one, and he, like, the coaches walk in, Coach K and those guys walk in, and there's like old videos of him, like, he'd been there for an hour already warmed up, right? And he's like in a full sweat as the other kids are coming in to warm up, right? And like, they, like, they don't see that, right? That like, the price to pay started so far ago before you shoot 30 footers and just like a skinny little kid, and that carries over to other sports. And
yeah,
the lack of patience around that is hard to deal with.
For sure. I mean, it's tough because I think a lot of, especially, I think it's worse in remote coaching because people can, because like, you're not actually present, like, you're not literally there. So it's pretty easy to bounce around. So if you don't want to give your coach seasons, like multiple seasons, like maybe a decade, like you might not be able to actually develop into the athlete that you could be if you gave that time, where it's like, yeah, I mean, like, don't go to your coach and be like, oh yeah, I have 9 months to the Open, get me ready. Like, I want to be in the top, whatever. Like, you need to respect the timeline that,
yeah,
it's just sort of a natural curve.
There's a lot that goes into it, you know? And then there's like, yeah, to what you're talking about, I mean, that starts with like the relationship and the trust, because you can bounce around. You're just going to see the next thing on social media. And then I know Ben is up there in Williamsport past me, and he just did more than me. So now I got to do the workout he's doing. What plan is he on? Right. Even though, you know, I'm 6'1" and he's 5'9", like, it doesn't even matter. There's like that. Yeah. Certainly that aspect to it. Remote makes that way harder, because it's harder to build trust in the relationship, right? Because you're not there all the time. You don't see them.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's certainly a thing.
All right. So here's a question for you. What are some of the elements of a program that, I feel like a lot of our conversation has been geared to competitors, but what are some of like maybe the principles that you can think about for testing or assessment that would be the same for a competitor or just like a GPP general fitness type athlete?
Yeah. Again, like, I'll back this up as one, I have kind of an alignment with OPEX and like James, where I would say like the person who's on a longevity program, like, it's really unrelated to an athlete. So like, I don't use athlete in here. Like, these guys are members, right? Like, they're not.
Yeah.
That ain't a thing. Right.
That's a debate in and of itself.
Yeah. So like, I'm sure Nike wants us to just do it and everybody has an athlete within them, but So I'll answer your question in a second. And like where I would say the problem is with that, or the disparity, and is that in a longevity based program, the number one priority is, can I do it again tomorrow? And so to lead that into the assessment question that you're saying, it would be like, I'm not trying to rule everything out as to what this person can't do or not what they're not capable of. I'm trying to find the level that they have of mastery. So if it were in like a remote setting where I could give them exercises that they're comfortable with, but can push them and see improvement, right? And stay on that level. And with the goal being that they need to be able to work out again tomorrow, because I need them to just have a pattern of working out all the time.
Yeah.
Right. And just a habit and enjoy it. And that looks a lot different than snatching on Monday, cleaning on Tuesday, and jerking on Wednesday. So I need them to be able to repeat things. And the problem is, like, almost all the research is performance based, right? Mm-hmm. It's not like it, because if you went into a study and you were like, all right, I want to get the most out of these people. What if you went into the study, you're like, all right, I've got 20 young, untrained individuals, and I want to do just enough that they work out, but not so much that they're stressed and that they could do it again tomorrow. Right. And you'd be like, it looks like bench press at 80%. I don't know. Right. You're like, yeah, probably. Right. And then they probably went for a run. And so with that, right, where it's similar in the assessment would be that I would say you start relatively polarized in that, like, all right, what's their like aerobic capacity on like true cyclical stuff, AKA assault bike or row, right? And where are they strength wise over here, right? Mm. And that, you know, that may look like weights on Monday, cardio on Tuesday, weights on Wednesday, cardio on Thursday, right? Like whatever people call it in their vernacular, right? But that, like, just back and forth, right? Like I do my weightlifting, I do my cardio. And then more advanced, it starts to be on the same day, right? But maybe it's a little different, you know, each time. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I would say you kind of, if you start with that like paradigm that like everybody starts separate on all the moves and like I test them all separate, I'm going to do that kind of across the board before I'm going to make them complicated like chest to bars and snatches in 23 point whatever, or, you know,
yeah,
21.3.
Right. I would actually argue that like for the vast majority of athletes or even competitive, like starting in that sort of a model, more of a, you know, looking at energy systems and just like their strength numbers is like, there's so much more you can do with that information versus like, oh, they got this score on 19.2. Like, man, like that's really hard to back up from that.
Yeah. You kind of need both. Right. And you only need both if they've had that experience, right? So if you had that experience, because then you can kind of look at like, oh, how'd you get there, right? Because our strategies could be really different. And so, you know, like, yeah, exactly. Like there's so much that could come from that, from just the numbers. And that's super interesting. And then, but that you could be like, hey, like, holy shit, look, Ben came in 50th in the region in this, right? And you're like, man, he outkicked his coverage on that. Like the dude can literally do 75 handstand pushups and he got 74 of them inside the workout. Like either the judge was cheating or that was awesome. Right. Like, you know? And so, yeah, because you have both. So you could be like, oh, this guy is almost like this dude will max out his capacity. Right. Mm-hmm. So that, yeah. So then you would be like, he just needs to get stronger and get more aerobic.
Right.
Because like technique is there and he's clearly maxing out his potential right now. Right. Mm-hmm. So that's what you could tell from that. Right. It would be like how much is left? How much meat, how much despair? That's what I'm saying. Right. Like is the kid 6'2" and he's going to end up 6'9"? No, that's 5'9". He's going to end up 5'9". Right. So we just got to get stronger and more aerobic.
Careful. I'm going to grow at age 27. I'm going to put on another 3 inches. Another,
yeah. Then you're going to have to pick a new sport.
Yeah. Yeah. At this point, I hope I don't grow. But yeah, I mean, one of the things that you mentioned that I think is interesting. I think about it maybe a similar way. I don't know if you're thinking about the same way I am or not, but basically that, you know, maybe like energy systems training. So if like, for example, like a 10-minute assault bike test would be an easy aerobic test that's in a shorter time domain, like aerobic power test. And it would be like, you know, that would be a really good determinant of just raw capacity for an athlete. Like skill is super low. Like it's just like, how bad do you want it? It's going to hurt. And just to see what your potential is like. And then, you know, a 10-minute Metcon with mixed work, a bunch of different movements that are acyclical. It's going to be like, how close can you actually get to expressing your capacity with something that has skill components or strength-based components, and it's moving around, you know, multiple joints and is more skill-based. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just an interesting way to test for that.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And like, obviously in the conversations, you have to make a bunch of assumptions, right? But you could also be like, okay, so the person did it once, right? But then I did it again 3 weeks later and the score was different. So why was that? Mm-hmm. Right. Because now we're talking about, okay, he did it once. It was great. Ben got his body weight, right? Well, he got 180 and he weighs 180, right? You're like, dude, this guy's going to be legit. But then 3 weeks later, because we just switched training programs and now maybe your volume's down a little bit and you felt great, but now you're doing this more organized thing, right? But you're tired and you got 165 when we hit it again in a month just to see where you were at. I'm like, okay, well, what's off? Right. So like, yeah, it tells you something there once. Right. But then it'd be like, that's where it's like, you start to know the person. That's what you're talking about. Like remotely, like, are you going to wow the person once because you did an assault bike test? Like, no, but maybe they have more trust in you because you gave it to them a second time and then you recognize the difference and you just like notice that you're like, hey, why is this different? And then Ben is like, well, actually, I have a new baby and I haven't gotten any sleep in the past 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So you look at the test once, look at the test again, is what I'm saying. Is like, can they actually even repeat that test?
Right.
Right. And then like, there's a lot that goes into it. So it's like, what factors did they use to get there? Right. Simon, the kid who came in, I knew he was a cross country runner. Right. And I knew he was pretty good cross country runner. He was like 155 pounds in high school. So like day one, you know, I'm like, all right, assault bike test, kid. Let's see it. And he's like, it's 155, 160 calories. He only weighs like 152.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm like, good Lord. Like, this kid's over his body weight, like, substantially. And all I said was like, get on the bike and ride as hard as you can for 10 minutes. He was like, got it.
Right.
But he's super skinny. Right. So like, you could look at that and you'd be like, yeah, well, his aerobic capacity was off the chart from cross country, but like he could probably still improve that score. So if you just look at the raw score, you're like, all right, we're done here. Like, no, you're not. The kid's 6 foot and he's still growing. Right. And like that score could be really powerful. Right.
Yeah.
So you could just get stronger at that point too. So it's like, it does all blend together as to what you're saying.
Right.
Right. But it's like what I would say with that is too many people just stop at the raw data and they want it to be an answer. And like, so then you have to look at the next layer, like how'd they get that score and what factors were involved surrounding that score. And that's important.
So one of the things I think that was really interesting that you mentioned was like, just because someone's like good in a quality doesn't mean that like with a little bit more work, they couldn't improve that dramatically versus something else. So for example, like looking at like strength ratio data for me, like you'd be like, oh yeah, you just need to squat way more, which is true. Like I do need to squat more, but it's like, also if I push up my deadlift, that goes up really easily for me. Like I can increase that max pretty easily. My squat always goes up when my deadlift max goes up. So should I work on my deadlift to get my squat better? And like, you can start to go down all those different rabbit holes of like, what do they adapt to best as well?
Yeah. And to that point, like, what do they believe to be true? Because if you just believe it, right? And you're like, yeah, every time my back gets stronger, I squat more, right? And I'm like, well, okay. But, you know, maybe he just needs some single leg work. But you're like, no, every time I deadlift, I squat better. Like, okay, so let's deadlift. Deadlift, you know, like that's going to have to be a part of it.
Yeah.
So there's a lot in that.
Yeah. Another thing you mentioned that, again, I think is super interesting is that a lot of people who they can do a test, they do it once, they crush that test, but then they can never rematch that score. Like, for example, we all know that one person who is like, oh yeah, I back squatted 455. And you're like, was that like 3 years ago? And like, what happened since then? And you like gained like 20 pounds and like lost a bunch of muscle. And like, now you're saying that you're still working off your percentages for 455. Like, I think there's also a lot to be said for like daily numbers that you can hit on, like, and being able to be within a high percentage of your best ever. I think that's an important quality for people who are, especially for competitors, obviously.
Yeah. You know, a lot of things pop in there, kind of like undulating sort of West Side style training, right? Where you could always be relatively close to performance.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, there's just a lot there. Right. And so, and then it also makes me think of like, if you look, you know, so if you just look across principles of general training programs, right, it's like you can only peak so many times. So you'll see, like, is that a technical max, or like, is that just put on my helmet and my knee pads and my mouthpiece and every piece of fucking equipment I had and I did it?
Yeah.
Or is that like something where you still had reasonable form, not a lot of equipment on, and you did it, and like we could probably warm up and you could get within, like you're saying, 5% of that right now, like literally in 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Right. And because it's a moving target, you know, and that's the biggest difference in like masters athletes too, right? Is like, it might not be there that day, and there could be a 10% swing, right? And you have two kids and the stressful job, and like all those factors get into it a lot. And you didn't eat as well this week, right? And you didn't even notice, or, you know, you had drinks on Sunday and it's Thursday and you're wondering why it's like you forgot about that, but like why your performance is still affected because you haven't slept well in like 3 days. So you've got less room for error as things go with that too. And like all those other factors, you got to ask questions about.
So I guess the common theme of this conversation has been like, the assessment process needs to be ongoing, and it needs to be a conversation with hopefully an experienced coach who can have a little bit more perspective. Cause like, I think even just our conversation shows that like, it was, you know, it's a complicated process. There's so many factors that are, you have to try to weigh and decipher that it's really tough.
Yeah. You gotta, it's just, you know, and to that, then it's like, you just got to ask a lot of good questions. Yeah. To what you're saying, right. You just got to keep asking good questions.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
Good question.
I like it. All right. Final question for you. Let's say there's somebody listening and they want to start working with a coach, but they don't necessarily know, you know, where to start because there's a lot of information out there. They're getting ads or other stuff thrown at them. Obviously, different coaches work with different types of athletes, and we could go on and on about that. Like, how would you recommend that somebody who's looking for a coach would find a coach who might be a good fit for them?
It's easy. It's just like here. So we're in State College, right? And I have a lot of people that join the gym for 3 years while they're in grad school or whatever, finish up, move on. And they're like, oh, I missed the gym. I just can't find the same thing, or, you know, all versions of that story.
Right.
Or like, what do I do? Like, do you have any gyms you recommend? And I'm like, I have my friends like gyms or whatever I recommend, but I can't guarantee you're going to like them. So I always say, and it would be the same thing for a coach, right? I always tell people just like, you got to go off of the vibe and like the trust first. Like I used to work with Mike Lee when he was with OPEX, and like, I just liked Mike, right? Like, I'm sure they're all good coaches, and like, I'm sure you could probably do it. And like, there's a lot of good coaches. So as long as you know you're fishing from a pond of like really good coaches and your candidates, it'd be like, just pick the guy and girl that you like, you know, that'll make jokes or whatever you like, right? If you just want them to keep you accountable,
yeah,
and like you want them to have those you just got to go off with somebody you have a good vibe with or fills in a gap that you believe that you need, right? And that's how I would pick. And that's what I tell people all the time. I'm like, it doesn't matter what gym in Hershey I like, right? You go in there, because if you don't have a good vibe, you're not going to want to go.
Yeah.
And just because I like the guy, because I think he's cool, right? Like, yeah, you should go there. But I can't, like, you know, he's different than me. So if you like me here, right? Like, I'm funny. I'm a smart ass. Like, you know, my friend's Jim, the guy's, he's like super, like by the book, right? Like, you can do this, you can do this, you can do this. But I like that, right? But you might not like that because you like my gym.
Right.
And I'm never going to make you do burpees if you're late. I'm going to say, thanks for coming, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Oh man. I think that's honestly, I haven't heard that before. And I think that's really good advice. Just like work with somebody that you think that you'd vibe well with and that you like. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I'm going with the given that you have to be mature enough to do your homework and like take some responsibility for your actions. Right. So like, narrow it down to a list of good candidates, like you're interviewing someone for a job,
right?
Like, okay, this person, like Ben has coached the, I want to be a thrower. Ben coaches throwers. Like, I got it. So he's on the list, right? And then pick the people you like. So
yeah,
make sure the
do your homework and then go with your gut, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Do your homework first. Yeah.
Cool.
Because then you're going to be more motivated to work hard. And that's,
yeah. And when they ask you to do hard stuff, you're more likely to do it too.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Like, yeah, that's what I was about to say. Right. Like, cause then, you know, let's say it's you and me and like, I may lay out this like beautiful plan. That's like, whatever, super like efficient. And like, we all agree as trainers, like this is the right answer. Right. Mm-hmm. But you're the one that asked them like how they're doing. Right. And they're like, hey man, I saw your dog photo on Instagram. I got a dog like that, right? And they're like, yeah, I fucking love people that love labradoodles, right? And so they're like, I work harder with them, right? And like, you're just going to get more out of that because you work harder.
Yeah.
Like, so it doesn't, right? So like, what are we talking about if you can't pass my scratch test? Who cares?
Yeah.
Right? You don't even like it.
good, because then I can never pass those anyway.
Yeah.
Hey, Brian, thanks for doing this today, man.
Dude, it's good to see you. Miss having you around. We'll catch up again soon.
Sounds good.
I'd say we work out together, but I don't work out nearly as hard as you do anymore. So we don't have to do that. We can just get lunch.
You next just time get lunch. That works.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Ben again, and I wanted to take a minute to talk about our online training program, The Protocol. The Protocol is for athletes who want to train for the sport of fitness. It's programmed by me, and it's my best attempt at preparing athletes with varying strengths and weaknesses for the demands of the sport. And I do this through the use of silos, which basically means I segment parts of the program based upon athletes' ability in a particular area. So for example, an element of the program this fall on Tuesdays and Thursdays was gymnastics-focused training. And there are four different silos, so athletes could choose to work on chest bars or muscle-ups or handstand push-ups or handstand walks. In other words, we are all doing the same core program, but there are ways to individualize it on a weekly basis. And as part of the program, I also include coaches' notes, technique videos, and educational resources almost daily. My goal is to not just have this feel like you're doing a workout plan, but to feel like I'm actually coaching you through the process of becoming the best athlete you can be. And having access to the protocol is just part of the benefit of being a pro member. You also get instant access to the vault, which is exactly like it sounds. It means that you unlock the ability to be able to download all the programs that I've ever written. So this includes things like Bulletproof Body, which is the accessory work for functional fitness, gymnastics density for the big five, functional thickness, your first muscle up, cyclical supremacy, overhead squat mobility, breath work for the sport of fitness, and it could go on and on. And lastly, you get instant access to pro articles, which are on topics that I really want to safeguard from the public and keep for my athletes. Stuff like cycle speeds for CrossFit open movements, strength ratio data analysis, so basically determining your relative weaknesses on strength work, breaking down sanctionals programming or games programming, energy systems testing and analysis, and a whole lot more. And if this sounds like stuff that you're into, you can get a 7-day free trial of Pro. Simply head over to zorfitness.com/pro. Thanks for listening, and as always, stay the course.